A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus addressed this parable to those who were convinced of their own righteousness and despised everyone else. Two people went up to the temple area to pray. One was a Pharisee and the other was a tax collector. The Pharisee took up his position and spoke this prayer to himself. Oh God, I thank you that I am not like the rest of humanity, greedy, dishonest, adulterous, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, and I pay tithes on my whole income. But the tax collector stood off at a distance and would not even raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast and prayed, O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, the latter went home justified, not the former. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and the one who humbles himself will be exalted. The Gospel of the Lord. We're going to start out with a show of hands. You have a choice. In this parable, who wants to be the Pharisee? Who wants to be the tax collector? Pharisee? Who wants to be the tax collector? I'm with most of you who didn't raise your hands at all. I've got to admit, I really don't want to identify with either one of these guys. And Jesus tells us outright that the tax collector is the good guy. I want to be one of the good guys. But the tax collector does not really appeal well to my ego. If bowing my head, looking at the floor, and admitting my weakness is required, that strikes my contemporary American alpha nation psyche as a pretty steep price to pay. But really, who does want to be identified with the Pharisee? Self-satisfied, boastful, so transparently conceited. And not just that, but eager to belittle and accuse others. Thank goodness we're not like that, huh? Of course, you realize that the moment we say such a thing to ourselves, about ourselves, we have become the Pharisee. We become the ones pointing to the failings of others in order to avoid acknowledging our own need for mercy and forgiveness from God and from other people. Last Saturday, I was out of town with a community of lay Dominicans, and a couple of folks in the group were using the label Pharisee as a way to put down others. We tend to do that, of course, because Pharisees are familiar punching bags in gospel stories. But the fact is that the Pharisees were a sect within Judaism whose members were scrupulous about trying to live strictly in accord with the Hebrew scriptures and the traditions of their faith. That's not a bad thing if we look around here and see others in our community who have given themselves over as fully as possible to living the gospel and living our traditions of prayer and worship and behavior. We call them good Catholics, good Christians. We use Pharisee to label people who exhibit self-righteous, hypocritical behavior now, not because they were devout people, scrupulous about their own behavior, but because they tended to see themselves as the sole possessors of God's favor. Because of their practices. They didn't set out to be a bunch of jerks. They simply fell into the very human trap of thinking they could say, "Okay, God, I got this. Look how well I'm doing. And look how poorly those people are doing. We got this." As a result, today's dictionary definition of Pharisee remembers their failings, not their original good intent. Now, ask yourself this question. Is the same thing happening today to the definition of Christian? I asked that Dominican community last week, what's the common reaction of others when you have occasion to describe yourself as a committed Catholic or a committed Christian? The responses they gave me were almost all negative. Close-minded, bigoted, hypocritical, judgmental, self-righteous. And these are responses experienced by a group of Catholic men and women who are drawn together in community because of their deep desire to live out the gospel in their lives and to carry the message of the risen Christ effectively into the world. But these are the responses they experience so often. And the degree to which those responses, those adjectives, are accurate about us is really tragic. Now, I'm speaking in very broad generalities here. We, Catholics, Christians, as a group across the world and across the centuries, we've lived lives in tremendous contradiction of the gospel, often enough and publicly enough to create really negative impressions in the rest of the world. It's not a blanket condemnation, though. The living body of Christ does do what it is intended to do, despite our failings and our weaknesses. Every now and then we produce amazing saints, and over again we together produce wonderful works of mercy and love for the world. It's not a blanket condemnation, it's really more personal confession. I know that I am guilty of this kind of behavior in ways that really horrify me when I come face to face with them. Anybody else with me? Yeah. Are you nodding your head? Because yes, Mark, your behavior does horrify me. I'm not suggesting that we wallow in self-condemnation or beat ourselves up about our failings. But if we become like today's Pharisee, unable to acknowledge when we fall short of God's invitation to holiness, then we become unable to receive the mercy and grace that God always offers us. When we fill ourselves up from our own delusional ego, there's just no room left in our souls for God's love and mercy. And that's not God's fault. This week and last week, Luke's gospel gives us two really good parables about prayer. Last week, it was about persistence. We heard about the widow persistently seeking as God persistently seeks to invite us to live justly. This week, this parable is about our attitude in prayer. Do we come to prayer full of our delusional ego, full of our own accomplishments, to report our obedience and wait for God to pat us on the back? Or do we come to lay our failings, our weaknesses, the imperfections of our human condition at God's altar and thereby create just a little bit of room in ourselves to receive the outpouring of God's grace that will bond us more closely to the heart of the risen Christ. The good news is that that mercy and grace is always there, just waiting for us to empty ourselves enough so that a little more of it can squeeze into our souls. Many folks in 12-step programs have taken the word ego, as in our overblown opinion of ourselves, and converted it into a wonderful acronym for Edging God Out. As you join in our communion procession today, whether to receive the host or to receive a blessing, leave something behind as you walk back to your seat. Leave one thing that is edging out God's grace from your life. Leave it at the foot of the altar. The blessing is waiting for you. We have but to accept it. See where it takes you this week.